little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
My inclination probably for the first one would be that Iram's scenario, which was looking at options for managing anxiety and depression, would probably fit quite well to our early needs.
Yep, cool. Yeah, I think that's the sort of discreetest one in some ways. Yeah. Okay. So who's going to be your patient?
Is that Chloe?
That's Chloe, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you. There's a copy of your scenario.
The name's completely made up, obviously.
Which is really helpful for anyone else. Change the name if we're presenting any cases that could be identifiable. That's great. Iram, you're quite familiar with the case already, which makes it ideal for you to be acting this. But you brought it to us because you felt that going through the choice option decision phase of this consultation was a bit tricky, wasn't it?
It was, and I saw the patient back as a follow-up, and I still really haven't felt that I've moved on very much, unfortunately. So, definitely.
And as Stephen was saying, it's quite often not realistic in the same consultation that you're assessing that patient to get that far, but to then signpost that there are choices and maybe offer some more information at that stage and then an opportunity to review. So you can compartmentalise these decisions, and I quite often ask the patient to call me back on occasions to say, well, here's something to chew on, a little bit of homework for you. Would it be acceptable that you read up about this and then give me a call and talk things through? But we'd like to rehearse with this scenario on that options and the choice and the words that we use on this, I think, really.
Yeah. Okay.
To help everyone else, because I've already sent this information to Iram, we do have some of the numbers and the choices that are available in this type of scenario. So I'm going to give everyone else a little bit of background as well so that they've got a bit more information, because it's really hard unless you feel capable of fully describing the options, fully describing what the choices involve, to be able to do that sensibly.
I've got that.
Katie, you're quite happy to sit over here as we do this.
Yeah.
Should I?
Yes, it might. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's going to be not from the beginning, but rather from the after I've done the history taking, said what I think is going on, and then start to talk about management options.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Where's the best place for me to sit?
That's ideal. So as you would sit in the consultation, but so that you're facing towards this neck of the woods would be lovely. Thank you. Okay. So do we need to let anyone else know a little bit more about this scenario? It'll probably be fairly self-explanatory, won't it, really?
I can give a quick summary.
Why don't you try and summarise as though you just heard and you've been talking together?
Yeah.
And you start with, so let me summarise where I think we've got to or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And then... Now, just before we start, is there anything specific you want the team to look out for or think about in terms of stuff to help or ideas or any... What do you want your team to...
Just if there's any pointers about how I could get the skill to engage with me, whether it's just that I'm not building rapport enough or how I can sort of almost bring her out of her shell a little bit.
Okay.
And encourage her in the whole process of making decisions, because that's what I really struggled with.
Okay.
Okay.
Part of this related to the individual and the pathology. So in this, this young lady was particularly indecisive, and I think that was partly disease-related and personality-related. So what we were trying to do here was to try and involve her more in the decision-making process, because she's particularly difficult, which is an ideal thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be particularly difficult then.
So Chloe, just to summarise where we're up to at the moment, so you're in your second year of A-levels at the moment at college, and you came in really today because your friend was quite concerned about you, felt that you hadn't been doing so well lately. You mentioned that there aren't any particular concerns at college and your work's going okay, but that you have struggled with feeling quite low in your mood for quite a long time. You're 18 now, but you mentioned really sort of it's been on and off since you've been about 15.
Mm-hmm.
And you do struggle quite a lot with making decisions, and you get quite stressed and anxious at times as well. You talked a little bit about how things are at home, and you told me that you live with your mum, your younger sister who's 12, and that your relationship isn't particularly great with them, so there aren't any major issues, but you tend to just come home and keep yourself to yourself in your room, and you tend to oversleep quite a lot when you get home from college and that sort of thing.
Mm.
You told me that you didn't have any particularly dark thoughts or anything like that, and that you are just about managing, but really it was more you've come along because your friends encouraged you today. So that's, from where I understand, that's kind of where we are. Would there be anything else that you feel I've not mentioned?
No,
does that sound about right?
Mm.
Yeah. So I think what might be helpful perhaps, or I'd like to see what you think about this, but would it be helpful to maybe try and think about some different options we might have that are available to us, some things that perhaps you could help yourself with, that we could talk through, and perhaps some things I might know a little bit about, and maybe try and come up with a bit of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
I think often things like this, when they've been going on for so long, we're not going to fix them straight away, and they are going to take a while, and it would be really helpful for me to see you again over the course of the next few months a few times, and we can talk more about that later on.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound okay to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So from the things that you've told me, it does sound to me that you may be depressed and that you may have problems with anxiety. Do you know anything about those conditions? Have you heard of depression and anxiety? Can you tell me just very basically what you understand about them?
Just that I'm feeling really low, and just don't really want to do anything, just going to bed. And just nothing seems to make any difference, and I don't seem to get any pleasure around anything.
And do you have any experiences with other people that you've known who have problems with depression? So it's not something you've sort of come across in your friends or acquaintances. Okay. Would you like me to tell you a little bit more about it, or is there anything in particular that you'd want to know about the condition, about what it is or how we manage it?
Just how I can feel better.
I can feel better, okay. And then also the anxiety side of things, do you know much about that?
Just what I told you, that I just feel very anxious. And
it's not particular situations or scenarios, it's just sort of all of the time, that feeling, okay. So you mentioned that you want us to talk about what might make your health feel better.
Mm.
Had you had any thoughts yourself about things that you might want to try, or things you were hoping we could have a chat about today?
Okay, time out. Just pause. Just try that one sentence again,
okay.
Using the preemptive strike that we talked about before. Because what you said is, okay, this is what's going on. What do you think we should do about it?
Mm.
Which has the danger of feeling
more,
you know,
under pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So try the preemptive strike. Yes, do you remember what I mean by that?
Was that when we drew
so
the
that's
together
when,
and
that's when you say this is let me just get you.
Yeah.
This is when you say, I've got two or three things that I think might be helpful.
Okay, yeah.
When you were coming today, was there anything you had been hoping would happen?
Okay.
Something like that?
Yeah. Okay, so Chloe, after what we've discussed today, I've had a few thoughts of my own about perhaps what we could look into and a few options that you might want to explore with me today. Do you had any thoughts yourself about Anything that we could try, or anything you've read about or heard about?
Not really. I just don't feel like I can even concentrate to make decisions or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think it is really difficult, because a lot of that is to do with the fact that you are so depressed, and that can affect the way that we think when we are so low.
Mm-hmm.
It can affect our ability to make decisions and to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how difficult it is for you. I can see how much of a struggle it is. But I think perhaps we could look at a few options together to try and see which of those might suit you better, which of those you might want to give a go. Does that sound all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you hadn't had any particular thoughts yourself about what you might want to try.
Mm.
Shall I tell you a couple of things that I wondered we might want to explore, and then you can tell me what you think?
Yeah.
So often, to start off with, there are quite a few things that we can do to help our mood, which are to do with lifestyle. So that's things like getting regular exercise, having a good diet, healthy diet, cutting down on alcohol. I know that's not a particular issue for yourself, but those sorts of things can be quite helpful. Have you had any thoughts about that, about kind of healthy lifestyle before? Where do you see that with yourself?
I just feel very tired.
Yeah, and again, that's one of the, well, that can be one of the symptoms of when people are feeling really, really low, having that lack of energy and not feeling very motivated. But it can actually help with your energy levels and with your mood, although it sounds counterintuitive, but it can be helpful.
Yeah.
Once you gradually start doing some regular activity, gradually you will find that, or a lot of people do find gradually that the mood does feel a lot better. And their energy levels may improve as well. And I think there are lots of benefits generally for that sort of thing, for your health, your mental health and your physical health.
I'm going to time out again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's two ways of doing this, I know, and I'm doing not the Calgary Cambridge way, which is to do the whole thing and then get you to some feedback. But I think just because we can play around with some stuff when we've got the team here.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask you, how are you feeling right now? Because she's not making it that easy for you.
No, it's
which
actually
is fine.
Yeah. It's very similar to what I had. I kind of feel like I'm doing all the talking.
Yep.
I'm
You're
talking
doing all
at
the
her.
Work, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's not really very helpful because she's probably not that interested in what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, your tone is really nice. You are trying to check with her. You're trying to engage her. She's feeling like you care.
Mm.
There's no doubt about that, I think. But you are doing all the work and you are doing all the talking. So let's just discover how Chloe's feeling right now.
I hadn't realised how hard it is to concentrate when you're fidgeting and actually taking in any of the information, because you're spending so much energy on fidgeting that I'm finding it hard to even concentrate on what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a little insight. What else can I do? You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm not hearing a great deal of what you're saying. I'm not really absorbing it.
Okay.
It is a great shame that this isn't a visual medium that we're recording on, because it's a great portrayal of somebody who's quite agitated.
It's really struggling.
And does find it difficult to connect with what other people are doing.
Yeah.
So focused are you on being so worked up and controlling yourself. So it's a great portrayal of the role.
The patient that I have. Yeah.
And so you've got to get the team involved here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the difficulty is we've got two things. One is we've got this context, which we're trying to think about shared decision making. And then there's a much bigger context, which is how do you work with someone who's really struggling? And that's a kind of broader picture. But if we try and stay with the sort of scenario we've set up, what other options or ways are there for Iram to proceed at this stage?
I think it's a really difficult one. Look, there are ways, because what you, CSA-wise, the problem with these consultations is you don't want to look as though you're rushing and you want to achieve something that would earn you marks.
Yeah.
Well, so okay.
If I can use that.
Right, yeah, no, I'm sort of, yes.
Yeah.
And let's try and hold it within a bigger, you just want to be a better practitioner.
Okay, okay.
And if you are, you'll pass CSA.
Yeah.
But yes, okay, so.
I like the bit that she said about, I can't really concentrate. And she sort of tried to relate the problems with concentration and the presentation or the symptoms that she's got. I was wondering whether at that stage you could say, get your pen and paper and say, would it be helpful if I wrote down a few of these options and then you sort of go into the options straight? after saying it's difficult to concentrate because of your the condition presents with poor concentration,
yeah.
Would it be helpful if I gave you a couple of options, writing them down and seeing which would help you?
Yeah,
that's just
so one of the ways then is to take a little bit more control at this stage and lay out the map.
Yes.
And so one of the phrases I use is lay out the map before you get into the territory. So actually to say, okay, well, there are fundamentally, there are, how many options have we got here? You can just struggle on as you are. We can look at what you can change in behavioral terms. We can hook you up with a therapist. We can give you drugs or any number of, any combination of those. Is there anything else we could be doing? Or she could be doing?
I was just thinking about our scenario this morning, because the patient had a low mood as well. And you're doing a lot of the work. And I just wondered whether you could probably do maybe less work. So less explanation, less talking, maybe more open questions. For example, you could say, obviously one option is exercise. And you might have said, is there anything that you've enjoyed in the past?
No.
Physical things, physical exercise-wise.
So I think
she might be able to...
We can combine these two. What's happening is you're trying to lay out the map, but you're already getting into the territory of the first option and telling her lots about it.
Mm-hmm.
We actually don't know at this stage whether she's even registered that as an option or is interested or feels that she's able to engage in any of those lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
So all of the talk about what that option is wasted in a sense until we know, is that where we need to start?
Okay.
And we need to get her to make, at the end of the day, she's going to leave the room and go on with her life. And the hope is that we can give her something that might be a clue to how she can do that slightly better or slightly differently.
Okay.
Any other thoughts? You were going to say something.
I was just this sort of situation where people are not engaging, plus also situations where people come in quite angry with no necessarily.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find it useful to actually comment on the way they've behaved. So I can see you're really quite agitated today, and I don't know how much information you're taking in. We can always come back if you want to come back again and we can talk it through, bring someone with you who can take in some information, because you've got she's got a good friend.
Perfect.
We've discovered that in the consultation, just because I'm aware that you might not be taking it all in.
I noticed that is a really useful phrase to have in your repertoire. I noticed that.
I noticed that you look really
this is tough for you, or I noticed that it feels to me like you're quite frustrated or angry or I think that can be a very helpful thing. It's empathetic, it locates, and it also sometimes unlocks.
It does, and it sometimes puts on at ease. Like, it's okay to be like that. I've just noticed you like it. It's okay.
Yeah.
But
it may be difficult for you to make much of a decision today. So what I'm really going to achieve today is safety netting and making it clear that I'm on the journey with you. And that's all we're going to do today, because we can come back and I can give you some stuff to read in the meantime.
Okay.
And this is where you're constrained by, CSA land versus real land, which is, how are we practically going to do enough to keep you safe, keep you engaged, to start on a process.
Mm.
Okay. So from the shared decision-making exercise, we may need to turn down your anxiety and turn up your activation slightly in order to practice some of those things.
So can I try that again with a prop?
Just before you... Ben had a point.
It's something about... it's kind of the next step, actually, so I'll just...
Hold it and keep it... Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Chloe, so... I can see that it's difficult for you to concentrate. You mentioned that, and I can see you're struggling with that. Now, it might be helpful, perhaps, if we outline some of the options today, maybe write them down, and I can give you some stuff to take away and have a read of. And then perhaps you can come and see me next week with your friend. Do you think that might be something you'd find helpful? Because then perhaps she could also help you to take some of the information and remember and have someone to talk it through.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
Yeah,
okay. Great. Well, you've not had any thoughts yourself about particular options, so I could maybe outline kind of what different options we have, and then we can go from there. So the first one, I guess, is about trying to have a bit more of a healthy lifestyle. So that's things like diet and exercise and cutting down on alcohol and that sort of thing. If you wanted to talk about that, any of these options in a bit more detail, feel free to ask me. There are some quite useful websites and apps and things like that where you can do kind of guided mindfulness and meditation and CBT and things like that, which I can, if you want, I can explain a little bit more about those in a moment. So that's kind of self-help things that you can do. Some people find it helpful to talk to a therapist, so to explore more about their thoughts and their feelings. So that might be another option, and that's the sort of psychology route. And then some people find taking a tablet can be helpful to help with their mood, and especially if they're having some of the symptoms like you've been having with the difficulty with oversleeping and your concentration and things like that. So I guess we've got sort of four options. Did any of those stand out to you in particular? Would there be any that you might want to explore further or you want to know a bit more about?
Well, like, I'm really tired, so I don't think I can do any exercise at the moment, and I don't really like talking that much.
Okay.
And I don't feel very motivated, so I think medication might make a difference, and then I might be able to do some of the other stuff.
Okay, fine. Well, if you like, I could tell you a little bit. Would you like to know a little bit about the medication side of things today? Perhaps I could give you a little introduction to it. We won't start anything today, but because I do think it's important that you are well aware and fully informed of the risks and benefits of medication. Some people do find it helpful, but there can be side effects. So perhaps if I explain a little bit about medication and then give you something, are you much of a reader? Would it be helpful to give you a leaflet?
Yeah, like that.
And perhaps when I see you in a week or two with your friend, you could write down any questions or highlight any bits that you wanted to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so the medications that we would...
I'm going to turn now again, just for fun. So how did that feel?
That felt better to me. I'm sure I could still improve on it, but that definitely felt better.
You felt much more comfortable.
Yeah.
And fluid.
And it felt a bit
less
more...
less laboured.
Yeah, and a bit more tailored towards what Chloe wanted rather than me just giving my long spiel, which I actually got her to
she
engage
spoke
a little bit. Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether we've turned the knobs yet, so she may have been feeling slightly different from how you were before, but how did it feel?
Yeah, so it's more empowering because you do feel like... I think also when you can't concentrate, actually... written down.
Yeah.
If you can't listen and you can't absorb, some people are visual.
Can't retain.
Yeah, can't retain it.
Yeah.
But maybe writing down is like actually. Like,
so yes. So on the writing down bit, have conviction. Do you have the most useful thing in my consulting room? I have two useful things that would not be considered doctor's equipment in my consulting room. Which can you guess what they are? Not a whiteboard, actually, although that would be possibly the third. A wheelie chair, a chair with wheels. I don't think any GP can operate without a chair with wheels because it allows you to do all sorts of things very rapidly. So I am desperate for your chair to have wheels because I want you to be actually sharing,
okay.
Although not sort of partially sharing because you're doing an exercise. So if you really wanted to share, you need to be... Yeah, and you're left-handed, so you really need to be this side, don't you?
Yeah.
And because not there, you need to be. People have different interpersonal distance, but that makes much of a difference.
Okay.
And in someone who's not keen on talking and is shy and is reticent and slightly sort of, teenagery sort of gauche, that potentially can work well. But, there are issues with it.
Yeah.
So I think the wheelie chair, my other thing, which everyone should have, is a woodpecker that goes down a pole like this, which is completely separate.
I have one of those. But
have you?
They're at home, yeah.
Oh,
it's at home.
It's the most... Well, I have only not been able to listen to a child's chest 5 times in 25 years.
I'm going to bring it in.
It's the most useful piece of equipment for distracting children when you're listening to chests. Sit them on the mum or dad, carer's knee, and a single, and...
How long do you get?
You get about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I've got two now. I've got a woodpecker that walks. I've got a ladybird that walks down a wooden ramp. But they're unusual because most people don't have these things. And they're marvellous.
I have a stopwatch with big...
Okay.
On it, so you go, press the red one.
Okay, excellent. Yeah,
and
those sorts of things. Yeah,
button,
those sorts of things are absolutely fantastic. Interestingly, because I have a very powerful chair myself, like that one, I have had made in my consulting room, of course CQC had to not see them, two really nice artist designed chairs for my patients so that they have an equally nice chair, but they're not on wheels, because I have some idea about health and safety, although not much.
Mm.
Anyway, so I think a wheelie chair is a really helpful thing. So own it and share it, and that way you really are using it. Rather than you're still using it. But I thought what you did in terms of laying out the map, so much more feeling, you need to give this person the feeling that, you know, there's control, that there's things that can happen here.
Yeah.
Yeah? You are a powerful force in your own right, and you've got to exude, you're going to be safe here, and there are things that we can do, okay? And I know some of those things. And otherwise, I thought it was really making a difference. The next thing, and the reason why I stopped you, was because you were going to go back into telling mode.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's so easy. We just love to tell. We're so obliging, okay? And she's not, you know, you might, you know, not get very much back, but it might be helpful to say, so from what you're saying so far, you don't think you could get yourself going, particularly around exercise. You're not keen on talking. And so medication sounding like the one for you. Do you know anything about it? Has anyone ever been, you know, have any of your mates been on medication? What are your thoughts about how it, you know? And that might or might not get a little bit more from her. Because what is going to make the most difference? I mean, back to our best and what we know. Yeah, how effective is medication in 18-year-olds with mixed anxiety, depression, and a crisis in their life, and whatever else is going on?
I think the other things are going to be more helpful. So.
Well, it's part of the brew, but it's certainly not top of your ideal list, is it? And this is shared decision making. This is not consumer choice. So you may want to say, well, that's really important and helpful for me to know, and I can see that that might be something that we need to do as part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Before we just go for that, I need to check a little bit more about these other things. Or we might, you know, because some of these other things actually might really be helpful as well.
Yeah.
And I know some stuff about this.
Mm. Yeah. And that would enable her to make a proper informed decision.
And also not to indulge in magical thinking. Yeah. I mean, some magical thinking is useful periodically. That's absolutely the thing for you. That is really going to work.
Mm.
Fantastic. And there are some other things that might help as well. Connecting with other people or you know, understanding what's going on for yourself or you know, learning what's going on in your family. Any number of other things that you would want to do as part of a mental health piece of work.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.